Thank you very much. It's certainly a privilege to be here with you this morning. We trust the Lord will speak to our hearts from His Word. I'd like you to turn with me to a passage in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel, chapter 5. Verse 22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. And verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heavens and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it, and told Joab, and said, Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak. Verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Verse 32. And the king said unto Cushai, Is the young man Absalom safe? The Cushai answered, The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Verse 19. Herod had Peter locked up in prison. And Peter had been delivered through a miracle of God. Herod was upset. Verse 19, And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Proverbs chapter 29. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm sure the Lord is able to bless to our hearts this reading of his precious and holy word. We have in that verse a glorious fact: being often reproved. We have a tragic decision: hardness his neck. And we have certain but tragic results: shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. The fool, the Bible is saying, is the one who says, no God for me. It is not the man who says there is no God who exists. But the true interpretation of that verse is that the fool is the person who is saying, I will not have God to rule in my life. We have read in your hearing of men who lived in years gone by who had been spoken to by God time and time again and who died. And we believe went to hell. When they stand before the great white throne judgment, they'll never be able to put the finger in the face of God and say, you never gave me a chance. Because in this same book, the Bible, I can remind you of men who were spoken to and who responded to the voice of God. Because I believe that God begins to work in our lives from the very time we breathe breath, when we enter this world for the first time. God begins to deal with us. And I believe that God begins to speak to us through creation. And I believe that God speaks to man through conscience. And I believe that God, as the scripture says, has left the Holy Spirit here in the world to reprove men and to show men the way. And I believe that God speaks to man and reproves man through the Word of God. Without the Word of God, man cannot be saved. Without the Spirit of God, man cannot be saved. And God uses these areas in our lives to bring us to Himself. I remind you of Jonah. Jonah, he decided that he was going to have his own way. God had spoken to Jonah and given to Jonah a special message. Because in chapter 1 of the book of Jonah and verse 1 it says this, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Go to Nineveh, cry against it." But Jonah, like many unsaved people who live in this world today, when they hear the voice of God, it says he fled from the presence of the Lord. In fact, three times over in chapter 1 of the book of Jonah, we read he fled from the presence of the Lord. And maybe there's some here this morning, and God has been speaking to you. God may have spoken to you through conscience. Many times I'm sure that your conscience has been pricked through some circumstances that has developed in your life, in your life, in your experience. And the Holy Spirit of God has used that incident to remind you over and over and over and over again. And no doubt you have heard the word of God. It has been the voice of God speaking to you, and you try to get away from it. And sometimes the more you try to get away from it, the more it seems that God speaks. But you're still running, with no place to hide. Jonah, it says this about Jonah. When he went from the presence of the Lord, he went down to Joppa. And every time a person runs away from God, they continue on the downward road that leads down to hell. Jonah didn't only go down, but when he got down, he found ships. And the devil always has his ships convenient. They're waiting. They're available at all times. And the devil's ships never bring you closer to God. The devil's ships take you away from God. It could be one of the devil's ships, could be education. Many a young man has been driven from God to infidelity through education. It can be through material things. Many a person has been blinded to the truth of God through material wealth. Thus, Jesus Christ himself, when he was here on earth, he could say, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." Don't worry about all the interpretations about a great big eye. He's talking about a little needle, little tiny fine thing. He says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because they forget that they need God and they depend upon the things that they have. But when Jesus was questioned further, he said, "With man all things are impossible." Or it might be impossible with man, but with God all things are possible. There are those who are rich in material things, who give their heart to Jesus Christ and bring praise and honor to his name. Jonah found a ship that was convenient to take him away from God. Now, I know Jonah here speaks of a backsliding Christian, but I believe that this is the same road that the unsaved take. Not only that, but it says this in verse 3 of the book of Jonah, chapter 1. He paid the fare. Listen, friend. You'll pay the fare time and time and time again going the devil's way. I only need to bring before you here, if it's possible, a man who I led to the Lord in Spanish Wells. If he were to stand here, he could tell you of how he paid the fare, going the devil's way. Listen, friend, you don't owe the devil anything. But the devil will extract from you everything that he can. And eventually, he'll take your soul, your mortal soul that belongs to God. He paid the fare. And I'm sure if I were to ask for testimonies here this morning, I'm sure there'd be many of you, especially those who were saved later on in years, who could stand up and say, "Brother, yes, I paid the fare. I'm feeling it in this body right now." And if you continue on, the road that you're heading will lead you to hell. He paid the fare. But then I want to remind you of the woman at the well. That Samaritan woman that Jesus met. Because with Jonah, he did repent. Because we read in chapter 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again the second time. And I thank God that God speaks once and yea thrice, four times, five times, six times. But the Bible says, God speaks once, yea thrice, and man perceiveth it not. Man pays no heed to it. And the word of God says this, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. God is long-suffering. He willeth not the death of one sinner, but that all would come to repentance. But the day of grace will not last forever. Neither will opportunity to be saved be yours forever. This might be the last time that you'll ever hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, but think of that woman that Jesus met at the well. She could have turned her back on the Lord Jesus Christ, just as that rich young ruler who came to Jesus Christ, who had everything in life but was blinded by the things that he had. And the God of this world was using those things and was blinding him. And he turned his back upon the Savior. One of the saddest scenes in all of Holy Writ is that young man who had so much opportunity. That man who had so much potential to bring glory to God. And yet he refused to do what Jesus Christ said, and he turned his back upon the Savior. He was face to face with him. And you're going to be face to face with him today. And either you're going to receive him or you're going to be like that young man and turn your back upon him. But here's that woman at the well. And Jesus knew all about her, and Jesus revealed that he knew what she had done, what her life had been like. And Jesus didn't rebuke her, and Jesus didn't scoff at her. Jesus said, "I love you," is what he said. Jesus forgave her of her sin. She received Jesus Christ. She bought up the opportunity. Think of the Philippian jailer. Here was a man who had a great position. And it took a special intervention by God to bring him to his senses. An earthquake! And sometimes God does just that. God brings an earthquake into a person's life to bring them to their senses. But he was saved, and all of his house. When God spoke to him, he didn't reject it. He didn't pass it off. He didn't go about life after everything was okay, like some do, business as usual. Think of the prodigal son. He went into the far country. He wasted his substance with riotous living. You know how God spoke to him? Through circumstances. I heard just this week that there was an army private, I guess he was, who was convicted because an officer commanded that he go in the hog pen and get some silver that had been dropped in there. I mean, that's crazy for that to even happen. I mean, the whole nation should rise up against that. That's terrible. But here, yesterday we were going through a mall and there was a girl sitting at one of those things where they drop cigarette butts and other things. And she had a piece of paper in her hand, and she was picking out all of those cigarette butts out of those little pebbles and stuff. And we passed, and she was saying to another girl, "This is the nastiest thing I've ever done in my life." But here was that boy down in the hog pen with all the stench and all the filth of it. He was in it! In it! And when he was there, not when he was full, not when he had everything, not when he was out with his friends having a good time, it was then that the god of this world was blinding him. But it was when he was in the hog pen that he came to himself. First he came to the end of himself. He said, "Why, it's better in my father's house. Why did I leave in the first place?" It was there that he decided to leave and go back. And the loving father was waiting for him. He clothed him in righteousness, made him his son, received him, had a feast for him. And there was the dying thief on the cross. That thief, he was just like the other. There were two of them, the Bible says. And they both had been spoken to, no doubt, when they were arrested. They realized that they had done wrong. And now they are hanging beside the Son of God. And they realize that he is the Son of God. And the Bible says they both derided him. They both derided him. Don't just let off the penitent thief because we feel that he got saved and think that he didn't do anything. He did as much as the other one in the beginning. But then we see that as the one thief continued to deride Jesus Christ, the other one looked at him and he said, "Man, don't you realize we're in the same condemnation? And don't you realize that we deserve what we're getting? But this man has done nothing amiss. This man is pure. This man is holy. This man is the Son of God." He looked at the Lord Jesus Christ and he said, "Lord, would you remember me today? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't let that opportunity to be saved slip through his hands. He could have. He could have said, "Well, I'll get down. I'll get out of this thing. I'll think of some way." But no, he realized that the things that he could use to do, the things that he could get to heaven or work his way to heaven with, his hands were nails. His feet that people used to walk and do things in the service of God, they were nails. But he also realized that with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the devil couldn't tie those. The devil couldn't tie them. And he received Jesus Christ, and he was saved. Daniel is telling us about Belshazzar in chapter 5, the book of Daniel. He's telling us about a man who was the king. He was the king of the country. That was as high as you could be. He's telling us about a man who had everything that one's heart would desire. He's telling us about a man who indulged in every thing that the flesh had to offer. In fact, at his party there was wine, women, and song. And the world would say, "That's great." But you know, he dared to take the vessels that had been dedicated in the house of God for the service of God and to desecrate those vessels and God will bring judgment upon any individual or any nation or any leader who desecrates anything that's been sanctified and set apart to the use of God. And there'll be Russian czars in hell because they dared to take the lives of God's people because they stood up and said, I'm a Christian. And there'll be Germans who'll be in hell. And there'll be people in America and people in the Bahamas who'll be in hell because they desecrated holy things. And King Belshazzar, when God begins to speak to him with a handwriting on the wall, God had spoken to him before, as Daniel reminds him when he comes to verse 22. Daniel says, and thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knew all this. And when you go home, you can read what Daniel is talking about. He's telling him about his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. He's telling him how God had to humble him. And Daniel says, you knew all this, and yet you are still in this kind of a situation. And now God is speaking again. Well, it's interesting, when his the Chaldeans and the soothsayers that he called in to give him advice came in and couldn't give him the answers that he wanted, it's interesting that the queen mother, it says, who was not at the party, she called for Daniel, and Daniel came in, and when Daniel came in, he said, art thou that Daniel? I have even heard of thee. You should have known who Daniel was. Daniel was there all along. And that's the trouble. That's the problem with people who are on their way to hell. The Bible has been here all along. Creation has been here all along. Conscience has been here all along. The Holy Spirit has been here all along. But you see, he lived his life without God. He was a fool. The man who doesn't know how to live doesn't know how to die. And there are millions tonight, today, who don't know how to live. And when it comes time to die, they're not going to know how to die either. Daniel told him that his days were numbered. Daniel told him that his kingdom was finished. Daniel told him that God had put him in his scales. They're accurate. God keeps the records. God has been checking the weights. Nobody's going to cheat when it comes to God's scales. God's going to give a man a pound for a pound. Daniel said, your kingdom has been divided. It has been taken away from you. Not only that, but you're going to be taken away from this kingdom and from this world. You know, after hearing that message from Daniel, after being spoken to by God, to where we read that he began to shake and to tremble, it says he was greatly troubled, his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Greatly troubled, under deep conviction. And he cries out to God, give me one more chance. Haven't you heard of people like that? Who are under deep conviction? They're in some bad situation, and they cry out to God, God, give me one more chance. Get me out of this, God, and I'll serve you all my life. You check on them 3 months later, and they've forgotten that God even exists. I'm sure you come across them every day. Here was a man just like that. Verse 29, Daniel chapter 5 says this. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And I write across that verse these words, business as usual.
And the thing that astonishes me is this. Belshazzar knew he was in that kind of a situation, because it says in that same night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Belshazzar knew. And we don't read of him turning to God. He lost his kingdom. And more than that, he lost the kingdom of God. He lost the kingdom of God. Oh, how sad. How sad. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's a glorious fact when God speaks to us, when he reproves us. But what a tragic decision. But a person hardens their neck, because I believe, number one, our decision is personal. Listen, young person, your dad or your mom can't make a decision for you. No one can make a decision for you. It's personal. You must do it yourself. A decision is costly as well. It can mean your eternal welfare. Decision is also permanent. You make a decision here this morning for Jesus Christ. That's for time and for eternity. You make a decision against Christ and walk out of that door and go down the highway and have a wreck. That's going to be for eternity as well. But one decision is going to mean that you're going to be in heaven, where there's peace and joy, where there's everlasting life. The other one is going to mean that you're going to be in hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Herod, you knew as well. You had been spoken to time and time again, Herod, because it was your grandfather who was living when Jesus Christ came into the world, and your grandfather knew all about him. He tried to destroy him time and time again, and you knew. You knew there was a living God. You knew. What did you do about it? When they said that you are as great as God, you stuck your chest out and you said, I'll take it. Let it come. I'll take it. I want to be like that. But God will not share his glory with any man. And the scripture says this, that we read in Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 12, rather. The scripture says this, that God smote him, the angel of the Lord smote him. And beloved, let me tell you this, that he didn't just die, but it took him 5 days to die. Josephus tells us that it took him approximately 5 days to die. It took 5 days for the worms to eat his flesh. And that's how he died. That's how he died. And the Bible says in hell there'll be worms who will eat at the flesh. And it's the same word, scolex. The word means maggot. In hell, there'll be worms who will eat at the flesh, but they will never die in hell. They'll live on in that place, and the worms will continually eat. And I believe it. I believe there'll be literal maggots eating at the body continually. Agrippa, Paul, why do you make me afraid? Paul, why do you speak this way? Paul, when I have a more convenient season, I'll call on you. Did he ever have a more convenient season? Will you ever have a more convenient season than now? Judas. You walked with Jesus Christ. Judas, you heard the words from his lips. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Judas, you sold him for 30 pieces of silver. We see Judas, after having so many opportunities, he could have been saved. I believe it with all my heart. We see Judas hanging himself. What a tragic end. What a tragic end. Pharaoh? Why? You tried to keep God's people in Egypt. But God brought them out anyhow. And when God got them out, you tried to stop them from going across the Red Sea. But you forgot that God was greater than you. And it was God who raised the walls of sea on either side. It was God who made the dry ground for his people to go through. And when you tried to come through, God brought the waters back, crushing down and smiting all of the Egyptians. Pharaoh, you had chance after chance, because it was over and over that you tried to get God's people to compromise. God had said through his servant Moses, we will not compromise. We will go 3 days' journey. You knew all of that. You knew all of that. Absalom, you were brought up in a godly home. Your father David was the king. Your father David was the sweet psalmist. Absalom, you should have known different. But Absalom, you rebelled against your father. And Absalom, you died an awful death. Absalom, listen how your father laments your death. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Oh, Absalom, would to God I had died in your stead. David knew God. David would rather that he had died and his son remained and had a chance. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. How was it in the days of Noah? Here's what Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Yet there were thousands of people who were warned as well as Noah. They watched Noah build that ark day after day. They were spoken to time and time and time again because Noah preached. Noah preached to them about God. He preached to them about the judgment that was coming. One day it came. But before it came, God shut the door when Noah's family was in. And all those people that were left outside, they'll never be able to stand at the judgment and point the finger at Almighty God and say, you didn't give me a chance. Because I believe that being often reproved and hardening the neck means that there will be sudden judgment and sudden destruction. And you can be sure that the results will be sure. The results will be sudden. The results will be complete. And the results are unavoidable. I wonder, this morning, you are making a decision. You are making a decision that may mean your, or involve, will involve your eternal destiny. Do you want to remain in your sins? To take a chance and go out into a lost eternity and be lost forever? Dr. Pennell is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia. I heard him tell this story. He said that it was one of the first churches that he pastored. There was a man who owned a logging company and a trucking company. He wasn't quite sure that this man was saved, and so one day he got in his car and he drove to the man's house and he said, Earl, I'd like to know why you're not saved. Should I put the question straight to him? He said, he looked at me and he said, well, I'm just not ready to be saved. He said, why, when I'm ready to be saved, of all the people in the world that I've got confidence in, it's you. He said, I left that town, and for 2 years, I never heard a word from Kate or from Earl. One day, I received a telephone call from Kate. She was filled with emotion. Her voice was choking with it. She said, Preacher, Earl's in the hospital dying from cancer. He said, I said to her, is Earl saved? And she said, no. But I know if anyone can get to him, you can. He said, I got in my car and I went to that hospital as fast as I could. He said, I walked into the intensive care unit of that hospital. He said, and I looked at a man who once stood over 6 feet tall in an oxygen tent with all of the apparatus fastened and connected up to him. He said, that man who was the specimen of a human being was now nothing more than a skeleton. He said, I walked over, his eyes were shut. I grabbed his hand and I shook hands with him, and he looked up as he opened his eyes and smiled, and he said, Preacher, it's good to see you. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you come. Dr. Pennell said, I realized Earl's condition. And I looked at Earl and I said, why, Earl, I'm not going to cut any corners with you. The doctors have told your wife that you're going to die today. Are you ready to meet Jesus? He said, he looked up at me and he said, Preacher, I think you and Kate have overbuilt the case. Why, I'm going to get better. And by the way, when I come out of hospital, the first person I'm coming to hear preach is you. I'm coming over to your church. Dr. Pennell said, I looked into Earl's face. I looked into those eyes that were pale. And I said, Earl, you don't understand. Earl, the doctors have said that today you are going to meet God. He said, Earl was rather weak and he was back with his eyes shut. And I stayed for about 6 hours, he said, and finally I had to leave, and I hadn't reached the end of the hallway when I heard some screams and shouting, get him away! See him there? Get him away! See him there? Get him away! He said, I rushed back and the nurse had moved in. He said, and Earl was now standing in his bed, the oxygen tent torn down, all the apparatus torn from his arms, waving his hands wildly, see him there? Get him away! See him there? Get him away! He said it only lasted for a few seconds, and he fell in the bed. They went over and they checked him, and he was gone. He said, Earl's wife, Kate, she began to weep. She wept on my shoulders, and after she had wept for a while and she got her composure some, she looked at me, and with tears in her eyes, she said, Preacher, I want you to tell me, what do you think Earl saw? He said, it was a hard decision for me to make, to tell her what I thought. She said, but with all the love that I could, I said, Kate, I believe Earl saw the demons of hell that had come to take his soul. Listen, friend, Belshazzar was in that type of a situation, and he knew it. You might be in that type of a situation. I'm going to ask you to stand with me and to sing. Just two verses of a hymn. 350. The first and last verses. And our meeting will be over here. Our invitation is always open. While the others leave, I'm going to ask you to stay where you are or come to the front here. There are men here who will show you more plainly, if you need help, how you can know for sure today that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. Shall we stand? verses 1 and 3 of 350. Today, for the privilege of proclaiming the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that the Spirit of God might take the message that has come through here today and cause our Father, men and women, not to get any rest or peace until they know peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this opportunity. We pray your blessing on everyone gathered. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. May the Lord bless you.